Today we'll be looking at Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15, continuing with the story of Moses. Moses and the Exodus. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place in which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I've observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I've also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that it is I who send you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. Lord God, I pray that you will soften our hearts this morning. Open our ears to hear you, that we might hear your voice, the voice of the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come. Amen. Can you imagine an advertisement in the Midian Times? Under situations vacant, wanted a leader for Israel. Someone to go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Someone to lead them from slavery to freedom. Please reply, sending in your resume, detailing your experience, your ability and your suitability. Imagine an advertisement like that one there. And Moses applying for the job, writing in his application for the job. Current job, shepherd. How long have you been doing that for? 40 years. That's a rather long length of time doing that. Current location, the back of beyond, way out in the wilderness. How good are you working with people? See what I've written below under, do you have any criminal convictions? Education. Yes, I had some of that. Good training in Egypt, but that was 40 years ago, and I've forgotten most of it. How good are you at public speaking, since you're going to need to do some of that? Well, that's something that terrifies me. I'm not good at it. It takes me a while to work out what to say, and then when I do, boy, my tongue gets tied up. I can't do anything there. Criminal convictions. Well, I better tell you, I managed to escape. So I'm not sure if you can count it as a conviction, but I did commit murder. There was a warrant out for my arrest and I fled. Current age, 80. Is there anything else you want to say? I don't want the job. Send someone else.
You want the job, eh?
That is what Moses' reply to a job advertisement would have looked like. Now, there were some upsides to his character. He was trustworthy. He did not like to see injustice and people being mistreated. He was someone who would look and see what was different, what God was doing. Someone who would respond to God. But the downsides, they were enormous. Looking at a resume, a CV like that, there's no way we would have chosen Moses. But we are not God. This passage about the call of Moses, God calling Moses as a leader, shows that it's not about who Moses was. We've looked at that, and who Moses was, well, he really wasn't up to scratch as a leader. It's about who God is. I say that again, it's not about who Moses was, it's about who God is. So who is God? What's God like? How did God reveal himself? Well, we're right at the beginning of the passage. God reveals himself in a bush on fire, blazing but not being consumed, not being burnt up. Now, fire is unusual. As a kid, we used to play a game, animal, vegetable, mineral. Now, some of you who have been around in New Zealand for a long time will remember playing that, the sort of thing you used to do in a car when you didn't have radio stations and you're on a trip. Well, fire isn't really an animal, it really isn't a mineral, it really isn't a vegetable. It doesn't fit into categories like that. It's not made up of a material. You can't hold or grasp fire. This was no ordinary fire. God revealed himself in the strange and the unusual. There was a voice, a call, Moses, Moses, and God revealed himself as being special. God revealed himself as being holy. Now, taking the shoes off because it was holy ground, it wasn't really about that particular spot. We don't have to always go to that particular spot to meet with God. It's really about God being holy. Someone to respect and honor. And God revealed himself in relationship. He was the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the people who had been before your ancestors. Not an impersonal higher power. God is a God of relationship. A God who knows us. And God revealed his character as well. God is a God who sees, who's seen the misery of the people in Egypt. A God who hears, who heard their cries, he heard their prayers. A God who knowing, understanding their suffering. And a God who responds, but not responding the way that we expect. What did we look at? We had God seeing. We had God hearing, we had God knowing, we had God responding, and then what does God say next? So come, I'll send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. I'm the God who knows, I'm the God who hears and responds, so I'm going to send you. I'm not going to go in there and helicopter them out. Since what do we have? When we're looking at the sending of Moses, well, we have our stories about heroes, our movies, our books. We have our expectations. And so did Moses. What are the stories of our mighty heroes like? The stories of Maui, the stories of Hercules, the stories of Thor. We all have, in our cultures, we all have stories of mighty heroes. People who were thought to be like gods, who are strong and clever. We expect heroes to be like that. We don't expect them to be like Moses, an 80-year-old shepherd in the back of beyond. And what are our stories of rescues like? Well, we expect someone to come into our situation, fly in, come down, fix things up, sort things out, and go out. That's what we expect. All in the time it takes for a 60-minute program on TV. That's what we expect. Or if there's a fire, we phone 111, calling for the fire brigade, for them to arrive and put the fire out. We do that, ring up, you come in, rescue us, pull us out. That's what we expect. It's only in cases like this missing flight that we realise that, gee, the world is actually so big that they can't find an enormous aeroplane. Sometimes people call out, if there is a God, why is there suffering? Why? They wait for God. They think that God should be a God who rescues like that, a God who should fly in and sort out the suffering and fly out. Instead, God said to Moses, a failed leader, working as a shepherd in the back of beyond, so come, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. I'm going to send you to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. For all of that suffering that is there in the world that people say, oh, why isn't God doing something about? Well, you have to say, well, God might be sending other people to sort it out. That's the way that God does things. That's what God is like. Now, Moses' reaction was understandable. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? I know what I'm like. The Israelites know what I'm like. Everybody knows what I'm like. Who am I to do that? Oh, that's good, Duncan. But it's not about who we are. It's whether we're terrific or not. It's about who God is. And still not convinced, Moses said, if I come to the Israelites and say you've sent me and they ask me, well, what is God's name then? What will I say? Did you hear those songs that we sang earlier today? Blessed be your name. The name of the Lord. God replied, I am who I am. I am has sent you. It's not about you, Moses. You might say, who am I? It's about God. And God says, I am who I am. I'm the one who is. I'm the one who causes things to come into being. I'm the first and the last. That's who God is. Since it's not about who Moses was, it's about who God is. Just like for us, it's not about who we are. It's about who God is. God doesn't change. There are times when we see things, when we observe them, in ourselves, in our family, in our community, in our world. We have the ability to see like no other generation before us. We can find out what is happening right around the world very, very quickly. We observe things. We pray. We look to God for answers. We cry out to God. God, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? We stand back from getting involved. Things seem too big for us, and they are. But it's not about us. It's not about who we are. It's about who God is. Now, we can't do everything. Just because we see something wrong on the other side of the world doesn't mean that God wants us to fly over there and sort it all out. That was the approach Moses took all those years ago in Egypt when he killed someone. He saw something and he just leapt in and whacked somebody. I sometimes get concerned when I read things in people. So, someone did this, so they really should be bashed up. I think, no, that's not the way. We can't do everything. And God doesn't call everyone to be a leader like Moses was. That's not what the passage is about. Can you imagine 100 different people trying to lead the same group at the same time? It would be just chaos. Now, on a rugby field, if you get two people trying to be captain of the same side and trying to make different calls at the same time, you know that it's going to end in a mess and a disaster. There'll be chaos. Chaos even worse than what's happening in the Ukraine at the moment. It's not about us all being leaders. Instead, what God does ask us to do is to be faithful in the things that we already are doing. For Moses, he had 40 years of being faithful in that job as being a shepherd. Learning the skills that are there for us to learn. Learning the skills in the time of the wilderness. Preparation. That's what Moses learned. He learned what it was like to live in the wilderness. Things that really came in handy later on. And he had a real wise father-in-law. We don't know anything about Moses' dad, but we know about his father-in-law. He was a good figure in Moses' life. He was a wise man. We know that he was a great influence for Moses. He learned from him. I think Moses learned what it was like being a dad as well. Learning those skills as his child grew. Moses also learned what he was like, what being humble meant. And that means knowing who you are. Moses was faithful. They're all skills that seem miles away from being a leader, but they were skills learned in the wilderness that God would use. We need to be faithful in what we are doing. Learning the lessons that are there for us, right before us. And then to look, to observe. God sometimes wants to get our attention. Sometimes it takes God a while to do that. For me, it took quite a few years before God got my attention. We need to be in a place where we're looking. Are we in a place where we can see if God is wanting to get our attention? Where if there's something like a burning bush, there's something that's out of the ordinary, that we would see it rather than just walking by with our eyes focused in front of us. Now, it sometimes is walking straight ahead and all we can see is what's right in front of our face and we don't see anything else that's happening around us. God says, keep your eyes open to what I'm doing around you. And then listening to what God is asking us to do. And as God leads us and stretches us, we need to trust him when he says, I will be with you. Now, it might be a reluctant call. Moses was just one of those people who was reluctant to do what God was calling him to do. I know what that's like. Anybody who's followed God for a while will know what a reluctant call is like. God calling and us thinking, oh, that's not really what I wanted to do. But hearing God say, that's what I want you to do. And trusting God. And doing those things. So if we just did what we wanted to do, what would we do? Sit at home and eat food all day. And watch TV. Or something like that. Those things that feel good, but really aren't particularly good. Yes?
I could do it
this afternoon. I've got 40 times and I don't want to do it, but all of a sudden I do it. Oh, that's good to hear, Jelaine. That's good to hear. Since we all have a role to play, we all have gifts given to us by God. Together, we're a team working together. There are images that God uses of us being a body with Christ being the head. Of us being a building with Christ as the cornerstone. Those are images in Scripture of us working together with God leading us. Since it's not about us and who we are as individuals. It's not even about us and who we are as a group. It's about who God is. And together, as we listen to God and respond to what God is saying to us, God can use us to answer someone else's prayer. Just like he used Moses to answer the prayer of all of those people who were in slavery crying out to him. That's the way that God responds to those people who are in need. That's how God responds to the suffering that is in our world. Let us pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the way that you work. The way that you work in such a different way to what we might expect. That you call for us to pray to you. But you also call for us to respond when you talk to us. Lord God, thank you for that. And as we do thank you, Lord, we also lift up those who we know who need your prayers and support. For Sarah, who Gonda and Duncan know so well, who they want prayer for. Lord, we lift up Sarah before you. We lift up those who are recovering from surgery that we know of. We lift up those who are sick and unwell. For those who are lost and strayed. For those who really need to come to know you. For those who are needing to work on a day like today, we lift them up before you in your name.